real into social media. We're kind of dinosaurs. And our young people, probably these young folks, know just about everything that's up there and what it does in social media. But it becomes a question. What part should this play in a Christian's life? Where do we need to be on social media? Well, let's pray. Father, help us tonight as we deal with this subject, one we have to deal with every day, whether we like it or not, social media. It's affected our culture. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see where we ought to be, where we need to be as believers concerning this matter. Help me to share what you've laid on my heart, shown to me, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we find ourselves living today in what we refer to as the 21st century, and what I just think of as the electronic age. Those of you who are like me and grew up before the electronic age, you know what I'm talking about. The computer chip and now the microchip has revolutionized our world. Our homes, workplaces, schools, stores, automobiles, and on we could go, are all computerized today and digitalized. It was Mike and Elizabeth a few months ago. Elizabeth got another car. Her lease was up, so they went and got a new car. And it was in the fall, and it was starting to get chilly in the morning. And they got in her car early in the morning. I think it was a Saturday morning, and it went to go somewhere, and they couldn't figure out how to turn the heater on. See, they're of our generation. You know, we like buttons and levers and those kind of. But in these new cars, you either talk to it or touch it or. They didn't have a clue. And see, that's our culture today, is everything seems to be computerized, digitalized. Now, one of the most recognized areas of the revolutionary changes in our culture is in the area of communication. Through the birth of the internet, access to worldwide communication by way of the computer and the cell phone is common. I'm amazed at how the missionaries tell us that they'll be in the jungle and the people in the jungle have a cell phone. I'm serious. And some of these third world countries, you know, people can't eat every day, but they'll have a cell phone. We today have what is referred to as the social media, and it includes such things as email, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, text messaging, and on we could go. You see, where we were once distanced from others, in our daily lives and activities, now we're able to be instantaneously aware of and in touch with others' lives. It's all through the social media. Before I started working on this, I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking about this. I guess right after I was born, my grandmother, I only ever knew one grandmother. Both my grandfathers, my other grandmother died before I was ever born. So the one grandmother that was remaining, about the time I was born, moved to Florida because my uncle was sickly and the climate was better for him there. So she moved to Tampa, Florida. So as I grew up, very rarely did we hear from our grandmother. A phone call maybe once in a while my mother would make, rarely. And if you wanted to communicate, it was by mail. And so months would go by when we didn't know what was going on in their life and they didn't know what was going on in our life. Just the way it was. But see, it's a whole different world today. We have kids in Florida, we have kids in Virginia, and in an instant I can talk with them. Every day I can find out what's going on in their lives and what the grandkids are doing. That quick. So it's a much different world. Now, as with so many other things, we need to recognize social media, we might say is a tool. And you know, it's a tool for communication. And as a tool, we have to realize, just like any other tool, it can be and often is misused and abused. See, we know that tools can be used constructively or destructively. Take a hammer. I can use a hammer to build a house, pound nails, build furniture, whatever I want to do, or I can use a hammer to break your windshield. Somebody said this: when using tools, it should be our hearts that we examine, not our hands. We bring our hearts to the tools. Don't blame the tool if it's misused. The misuse is a symptom of the heart. As I thought about this, I thought about, you know, this is so true in the matter of gun control in America today. Anything can be misused. You know, some people say, well, you shouldn't have a television because there's so much. Well, you can have it if you can control it. Some people say, well, you should never have a computer because of all the opportunity to do. Well, you can have it if you realize you got to control it. And you're the one that decides whether you use it for right or whether you use it for wrong. But the gun control thing is the same idea. The misuse is not the fault of the gun, but a problem with the heart of the person who has that gun. Listen, you could put a gun on that table today and leave it sit there for 100 years. It'll never hurt anybody. The gun's not going to hurt anybody. And you can put that gun into the hands of a responsible citizen, and that gun won't hurt anybody. But if you put it in the wrong hands with the wrong heart, it's going to be misused. Now, social media is somewhat like that. See, people say, where do you stand on this social media thing? Well, here's the reality. It's neither right nor wrong. It's a tool that can be used in both beneficial and godly ways or in destructive and sinful ways. And we must then be cautious in our use of social media. And here's the question each of us has to ask ourselves. Is my use of social media pleasing to God? I'm going to say this right off the top. I know of Christians whose use of social media is not pleasing to the Lord, because I've seen how they're using it. Yeah, and God's not pleased with it at all. But see, I'm not a policeman, and we don't have any policemen in here going to follow people around and say, oh, how are you using social media? But God's there all the time. Amen. Now, I took you to Philippians because this is a book that's interesting to read from this aspect of communication. You see, the book of Philippians and the other epistles that Paul wrote are really communication between Paul and the people he's writing to. Here, in this instance, it's the people in Philippi. Now, we read the book of Philippians, and some people think, well, you know, that's so antiquated and archaic. Here, we're talking about a time when they sent messages, and they wouldn't hear from each other for years. And, you know, you had to send messages by a messenger. Well, that's the way it was. But understand, the message of Philippians and the other epistles has never diminished in its relevancy or importance. You see, Paul was communicating with the methods he had, the best way he could, with the people that he needed to communicate with. We today have new methods, but just like Paul, we need to use them in the right way. And so we're going to look at that tonight. Now, the first big point is I want to look at social media as a positive tool. There's a lot of good that can come from the social media. And one of the positive aspects is that it enables us to reconnect or to stay connected to people. Now, most of you know my wife, and she's a very people person. And she has enjoyed being able to reconnect with people that we haven't been able to connect with for a lot of years. Some of our friends from Faith Baptist Church down in Fairless Hills, we've been gone from there since 1983. She's been able to reconnect with some of her cousins and some folks we knew who moved to California and those kind of things. And social media has allowed us that privilege. You see, there was a time when you wanted to reconnect with somebody. Number one, you'd really have to have a burden to find them. And then number two, what you'd have to go through. You'd have to try to find somebody that may know where they are or try to trace them down. Now you go on social media, you can find people like that. Click in a name and see what comes up. And you can reconnect with people. Now, not only can you reconnect, but as I mentioned earlier, you can stay connected. You can have daily interaction with people through this media where once, you know, it just wasn't possible. Wasn't going to happen. So let's look at some positive things that come out of the social media. Number one, it can help us to pray for people. You know, when you read this book of Philippians, look at Philippians 1. Verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And he goes on. Now, understand, Paul says he's praying for these people. But see, he didn't know the daily needs of these people. He knew the general needs of these people, that they would walk with the Lord and be healthy and strong and all those kind of things. But he couldn't receive an email that said, hey, so-and-so's sick. Or so-and-so had a death in the family. Pray for them. But see, Paul was faithful to do what he could through the communication he had. And so he used his communication for prayer. Now, Paul prayed for the Philippians consistently with some uncertainty about what was specifically happening in their lives. But he was faithful to do that. But see, through the social media, we can pray a lot more intelligently for people. We get emails, you know, pray for so-and-so, they're sick. Pray for so-and-so, they were in a car accident. Pray for so-and-so, they had a heart attack. Pray for so-and-so. How many of you ever get those kind of emails? See? And so we go, oh, I didn't know that. Well, let's pray. I just shared with you about Pastor Fedena, and he sends out emails, you know, about his eye. Well, it's not any better. But see, that helps us to pray more intelligently, and that's a good thing. We can know the needs of people and ministries and wow, for the missionaries. You know, a lot of missionaries, now listen, they often read, well, they ask us, would you rather have hard copy or email? Now, I prefer a hard copy. Some of them will send us their I don't even know what you call it, but we can print out their prayer letter. But, you know, they can send that out. We get it the same day. Where it used to be, you know, before all this, they had to send it to the mission board, and the mission board had to print it up and put it in envelopes and send it out before we could ever know what was going on in their life. We can talk to them anytime we want. Just get on a computer. Bah, 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 bah. And see, that helps us to know what's going on. Brother Doug Hammett sends out emails all the time. I'll get a couple every week from him to explain what's going on or what he's been doing or what he's... See, and it helps us to pray more intelligently. So, it can be a very powerful tool to help us to pray for people. And then it can help us to challenge people. See, now because of social media in different areas, now we have access to people that we might never otherwise be able to talk to. Now through social media, we might be able to interact with unsaved people. And we might be able to challenge them with salvation, challenge them with the Word of God. Witness to them and tell them. And, you can't be a bull in a china shop with that. But we can be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves in our witness to people, even in this setting. How? Telling them how God is blessing us and what He's done in our life and the difference He's made and the peace we have and all the positives of being a Christian. And then we now made more aware of the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. And oftentimes we can encourage other believers as we can compliment them on the positive aspects of their lives and be in touch with them about what's going on in their lives and try to encourage and challenge them for Christ. But you know, I thought about that and I thought about the challenge. And I think I need to kind of insert something here. I see many so-called Christians who post things on social media that they're doing and being involved in, and those things are far from what Christians ever ought to be or do. Sometimes I'll see professed Christians, people I know from our church or from past acquaintances, from Florida, from... And I'll see them post things about, you know, something they're doing, where they're going, what's going on in their life, and I'll say, whew, I thought they were a Christian. That's how I feel in my heart. And sometimes it's so disappointing and depressing to see people who profess to be Christian. And then they proudly boast of these things, that places where they're going, people in casinos. The way some of our women are dressing. Pictures of women at the beach in bikinis. I'm talking on public media. Broadcasting to the world. And I'm saying, I thought they were Christian. You say, what's that got to do with challenge? Well, here's what I think. I think when we see that kind of thing, it might do us well if we have contact with that person and the ability to say something to that person. We ought to say something. What really breaks my heart is I've seen so many circumstances where other Christians will respond to what they've seen in a positive way. Like what they're saying is, yeah, go for it. Whoa. Well, it's quiet in here. Listen, here's what I do with the Facebook. What do you mean? Well, I go on there and look, anything that might affect me. You know what I find? Almost nothing. I may see something from somebody in the past, and I'll stop and look. Somebody I know, stop and look. But other than that, but you know what I've recognized? I'll say a little more about this later. There's a lot of people in this world got too much time in their hands. What do you mean? Well, they're spending an awful lot of time posting nonsense on Facebook. Huh? And there's a lot of people who just don't have the sense God gave a billy goat. What do you mean? They post stuff on there that they ought to be ashamed to post. But that's our social media. Well, and then pray for people, challenge people, and then encourage people. I had a little email from somebody not too long ago. It's just a little note that said, I appreciate the sermon on Sunday, and I thank you for your stand, and, you know, some really nice compliments. I thought, wow, That is such a blessing. But see, we can encourage people through this method, through this way. We can send an email. We can send. Well, I don't tweet. I don't even know how you do that. You can do that kind of thing and just encourage somebody. Or maybe if they're missing in church, and you can send a little email. Hey, I missed you. So we see it can be a very positive tool. And there's a lot more ways. We could spend a lot of time talking about how it can be positive. But then I want to talk about a negative tool. And obviously, it is often abused, misused. We have these new opportunities to carry out ministry. But we need to understand that the social media has hazards that can cripple us in our spiritual life, can affect our usefulness for the Lord. And so we need to watch some of the dangers. Paul, in his epistle, he talks about the church. And by the way, that's 2,000 years ago, and he talks about the church having some problems. But see, we need to understand, people can use this as a negative tool. And people can use the social media for bragging. Social media makes it easy for a person to make a star out of themselves. Huh? I don't do YouTube. I've seen some YouTube things that somebody's shown me, but, you know, I don't know that I would know how to post something on YouTube. But people do, and they make stars out of themselves. Sometimes people want to use social media to draw attention to themselves. And, you know, man's natural tendency, I'm talking about the old man, is to elevate themselves. That's built into us. That comes with being born. This idea that, you know, I want to elevate me. We have this thing called ego. So people have a natural tendency to want to talk about themselves and reveal themselves as how great they really are. And we call that bragging. Now, when it comes to the social media, when I say bragging, listen, I'm not talking about when somebody talks about their grandkids doing well, you know, or those kind of things. But I'm talking about somebody trying to build themselves up. See, if we're going to post something on social media, we better check our heart attitude before we post it. And see, if the goal for our posting is that I'm going to promote myself in some ways, I'm going to post things so that I can make other people envious or jealous of me, then we're absolutely wrong. You know, look at verse 19, chapter 1. Paul says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Listen, as believers, we're not supposed to magnify ourselves. The fact is, we're supposed to die to self. Our lives are supposed to magnify the Lord. So if we're going to go on social media and try to magnify ourselves and have people, you know, adore us and envy us and all that mess, then we're not magnifying the Lord. We need to be careful, and we don't make social media about us, but we need to make it about the Lord. And then another problem. Oh, my goodness. Wasting time. Social media can become such a part of people's lives, it becomes their lives. Listen, there's people who spend hours every day on Facebook and YouTube and Twittering and on you go. Wasting time. Now, again, I'm not against using it, but listen, we ought not to make it so much of our life that we forget about what our life really is supposed to be about. What's our life supposed to be about? Him. Somebody said this, God is obviously not pleased when social media gets so much of our attention that we seem not to have time to spend thinking about our spiritual lives. Social media is not the problem. The problem comes when we allow social media to capture our hearts. As I said, it's obvious if you go on social media that there are some people who have too much time in their hands. That they will spend hours doing this. Now, as a Christian, if we have that kind of time, there is certainly work the Lord would rather have us doing. Amen. Than wasting it on social media. Oh, and then there's this one, ranting. How many of you have ever seen ranting on social media? I mean, somebody's just, you know, they're into something, they're devout in something, they're gonna make their position known, and man, they just go off the wall with the thing. You know, something about social media that you gotta watch. You can post things on social media and say things to people that you might never say to them face to face. It's kind of a way to communicate with people without being in their presence. And so we need to be careful about that. Some people will post things on social media just to get a reaction. They'll just put something on there and see how many people react to it. Others are passionate about their views and the social media. They use these social media to demean others who don't agree with them. Look at Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. A couple of months ago, some of you remember, I posted a letter to the editor back there. I wrote, how many of you remember that? And I said at that time, I don't usually do this. Do what? Write letters to the editor. Do I get upset with things I see as editorials and the gist of the Eastern Express? By the way, my paper's done the 18th of this month. I called him, told him, I don't want it anymore. I'm tired of your rag. I'm tired of your position. I'm tired of it all. Don't bring me the paper anymore. So as soon as what I paid for runs out, I'm done. You say, what are you going to do? I don't know. Maybe I'll try the morning call. Maybe it's better. I don't know. But I'm sick to death. And there's one fellow writes in the Express. How many of you read the Express editorials? Any of you? A guy named Dan Tilley. Well, I saw him once, but he used to be all the time. And this guy's a raving maniac. And he's absolutely, I mean, way left field, ultimate liberal. Hates conservatives. And he would write stuff in there, you know, and I'd read it, and I'd think, oh, somebody needs to. But the reason I don't get involved in that is because I can get so consumed in that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's how some people are on the internet. they get so consumed with arguing with people and, you know, trying to show off their intelligence and trying to make their point and trying to make their position known and all these kind of things that they forget what it's all about. Listen, the old saying, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, does that mean we can never dispute anything or no. No, it doesn't mean that we're never to speak our mind or address hotly debated issues. But when we do that, we need to make sure our heart is guided by love, not anger. And concern for our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said this. I love this. Calling someone a moron on social media shuts down any opportunity to witness to that person or any other person who happens to read your post. Listen, how many times have I wanted to just respond and say, are you really that stupid? Huh? Why didn't you do that? Because everybody that read that would say, look at that preacher. Look what he said. He claims to be a Christian. No, we ain't going there. See, if somebody wants to post all that stupidity, they're just revealing where they are. I don't need to point it out. Listen, we must be wise in our conversation. Realizing our priority in life is to reflect Christ and be a good testimony of His love. David Gibbs, I heard him preaching a sermon. I think you might have heard it down there at the summit. But he began by saying this. Our job as Christians is to make Jesus look good. Listen, when we post mean and nasty things on the social media, we're not making Jesus look good. Another thing that's a negative is it creates shallow relationships. What do you mean? Well, we find ourselves talking to people at a very surface level. We never really get involved with people to disciple them and try to help them in their Christian life. Or maybe the shoe's on the other foot. Maybe we're so shallow in our conversations with people as Christians, nobody's helping us to be better Christians and disciple us. Listen, a lot of what's on social media is just shallow nonsense. Paul had lots of relationships, but he made sure he built in the lives of the individuals at the same time. I think about how Paul built himself into the life of Timothy. And Paul had built himself into this life of this young man and discipled this young man. Listen, we need to have that kind of relationship. Another danger, another negative. Pretending. Listen, we all know the dangers of our young people getting on social media and being hoodwinked, being by predators. People who will come on there and make like they're the same age as teenagers, you know, and they talk to them, and then they want to meet them and all this kind of, and here it is, somebody, this will be somebody who's 45, 50 years old who's just trying to pray. See, when you're on social media, you really don't know who you're talking to unless you know that person personally. But see, a lot of people can post a lot of things on there and pretend to be things they're not. Now, I'm talking about the predator, but I want you to understand it's not always just predators. Some people want to go on social media and they want to put on this false persona, if you will. They want to show their lives as they have perfect lives and they have no problems. The fact is, in a lot of cases, those same people's lives are falling apart. But see, we don't know. These people are pretending. Some want to create a persona of being the ideal Christian with no spiritual shortcomings. Boy, to read their posts, they never have a problem with sin. Everything they do is perfect. And by the way, oftentimes they are very quick to criticize other people. But you know, when I read about Paul, you know, Paul never made any pretense in all of his writings. He didn't pretend to be something he wasn't. Chapter 3, look there at verse 12. He says this, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Now our brother preached on that on Sunday night. And in essence, here's what Paul says, "I've not arrived." You know, I think Paul was probably the greatest Christian who ever lived. And yet he testifies. He says, "In my flesh dwells no good thing." He called himself the chief of sinners. Does that sound like a guy who wants to make himself look good? And you know, sometimes you find people on the social media, and they like to, well, they have an eye problem. You know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm an I. Where's the Lord in all of it? Who are you trying to get glory for, you or him? By the way, when we're on this social media, can I give you a hint? You don't need to air your dirty laundry. Now, you know, I just talked about people want to paint themselves to be perfect. Well, sometimes you have people on the other end of the spectrum. They want to get on there and reveal all their shortcomings. No. You don't need to make your sin public. Your confession needs to be to the Lord, not to other people. And then, how about coveting? Social media can make you covet. You say, "Well, what are you talking about there?" It can be very easy to find yourself coveting when the braggarts like to get on the social network there and post about their wonderful lives and their perfect kids and their beautiful homes and their exotic vacations and their wonderful jobs. And on they go with how perfect their life really is. And you find yourself saying, "Boy, look at them and look at me. And I'm trying to live for the Lord." And pretty soon you find yourself coveting. And see, social media gives the braggart that opportunity. You know, we're back to Paul. And boy, Paul, chapter 4. Paul said in verse 10, he said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Paul's testifying, hey, whether he has plenty or whether he has nothing, he's content. He's content in what the Lord has for him. And we need to be there. Have you figured out yet, God don't have the same things for everybody? Have you figured that out yet? See, sometimes Christians think, well, you know, God has to give everybody the same thing, equally. Find that in the Bible. God gives to us and takes care of us as He sees fit. Sometimes God will let us abound. Sometimes God will let us be abased and needy. How many of you have been in both places? Yeah. Times of plenty, times of need. And you know, it's interesting when you look at the church parking lot. Sometimes folks will have new cars. Sometimes folks will have couple-year-old cars. Sometimes folks will have antiques. Patched-up cars. Hey, I've been on all ends of that spectrum. I've driven junk. I've driven some nice cars. But see, we can't look at what somebody else is driving and say, God don't love me because he didn't give me that. We can't look at somebody else's house that might be more beautiful than ours, more modern than ours or whatever, and say, God must not love me. He didn't give me that. And begin to covet. And see, sometimes when we see people bragging on social media, and maybe they're not even bragging, maybe they're just posting that they've been blessed, sometimes we have a wrong reaction. Better be careful about that. Well, there's one more. Avoiding problems. Sometimes people get so involved in social media and things of others and all that's involved there, but they don't pay attention to their own problems. They don't pay attention to what they should be paying attention to. And they don't deal with their own heart issues like they need to deal with them. Sometimes they go on the social media and they say, oh, so-and-so got that problem. I'm not that bad. So-and-so got that problem. And they think they're okay. And they begin measuring themselves with other people. And Paul says, when you do that, you're a fool. We don't measure ourselves according to others. We measure ourselves according to Christ. Let me ask this question. When you go to the doctor and they say, how tall are you? Do you say, well, I'm taller than David? Or I'm shorter than Brother Mike? Is that what you say? I'm taller than my wife. No. What do you say when they ask you how tall you are? I know what I say. I'm 5'7". At least I used to be. I'm 5'7". What's that mean? It means I've been measured according to the standard. What is the standard? The ruler. Our measuring system. I don't measure myself against other people. I measure myself against the standard. And that tells me where I am. Now, as believers, bring that over into the spiritual life. Where are you spiritually? Well, I'm more spiritual than this one, or I'm more... No. That's not how you measure yourself. He's the standard. How am I measuring up? Oh, well, now I fall pretty far short. Yeah, that's the point. Don't measure yourself on other people. Measure yourself on Him. He is the standard. Sadly, today, a lot of people want to change the standard. I worked with a fellow at the can company. He was not a good mechanic, but he was a mechanic. I don't know how he ever got where he got, but he was there. He worked right alongside of me. The guy was always messing up, always. Well, we made ends for cans. You know, if you ever look at a can, now at one time there were two ends, now most times there's one end. You understand that? Well, when you make that end, you put a curl on it. It would come out kind of a just flat and then this way. And then you run it through this thing. It's called a curler, and it puts a little curl on there. So when they put the top on, then this thing comes around and seals it. Well, that curl has to be perfect, so that when it's going down that production line and it goes on that can, it fits perfect. If there's a tight spot, so we had this little gauge that the quality control would come around, and they'd take their gauge and they'd take a few of our ends and they'd run it around there and make sure it's perfect, not too big, not too small. Well, the one day this guy was having trouble with his, and it was too tight, too tight, too tight. And he kept fooling with it, fooling with it, fooling with it. He couldn't get it right. I mean, he spent hours messing with it. Finally, quality control comes by, and he says, "Look, I got it." I said, "Let me see that." "Okay, you can go ahead and run." So somebody went over and said, "John, how'd you finally get that?" He said, "I ground some off the gauge." He changed the standard. And see, it don't work. Because eventually everything he made had to be rejected. You can't change the standard. You got to measure up to it. At least try to. Too many Christians want to change the standard. Mm-mm. Social media. It has its good points, has its bad points. Is it evil? No more than the television is, or the computer is, or my hammer is, or it's all on how you use it. What do you do with it? And you ask yourself the question, how am I doing? Any questions or comments about social media? Everybody's right along there with me, huh? Okay. Well, let's be careful about our use. Like anything else, it can be abused. Misused. And let's make sure that we, in our use of social media, whatever it is, if you're Twittering, if you're emailing, if you're Facebooking, whatever you're doing, that whatever you're doing will please and glorify the Lord. Father, thank you.